Welcome to the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast. The Southern Storm, a bold, liberating rock, shot through with blues, soul, and gospel. And now, your hosts for the show, Brian Jones and Jason Johannes.
Welcome to another episode of the All Things Blues and Southern Rock Podcast on Pantheon Podcasts. Go there to find the podcast that fulfills your needs. Hopefully we're in there somewhere. And Jason's in here somewhere as well. And he's got a few words.
I'm in here somewhere, wherever
in the ether of the internet.
The ether of the internet. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, man. So let's just go right into it. We're going to talk a little bit about Lynyrd Skynyrd in this episode. We're right around the 50th anniversary of that first record pronounced. Or when I tell my Alexa to play it, she says, pronounce Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Not quite pronounced correctly.
Correct. Where does that record, I mean, that's one of the great debuts of all time, right? Like,
it's loaded. You know, I was fortunate to be asked to be on an episode a while back of Digital Killed with our good friend David Hudson, and we talked about that record, and it I was, you know, like you say, you look at that record, you look at the track listing, it's like, yeah, that's been on the radio, and like even like Mississippi Kid, like Charlie Starr teases that in Blackberry mm-hmm. Smoke almost every night they play. It's mind-boggling. It's got to be in the top five of debut records, great debut records. It's got to be. Man, I mean, at least for sure top in the 10, top at least. 10. At least.
Right.
For sure.
Well, where does that fit in the pantheon of, speaking of Pantheon podcasts, the pantheon of Southern rock records?
Oh, it's right up there. I mean, it's
top three, easy, right?
Oh, you know, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously you're going to have live Fillmore East from the Allman Brothers. You're going to have, you know, pronounced in there. You're going to, Second Helping is probably in there too. I mean, if not top five, at least top 10, you know, and, you know, the Bipperwills in there for me. It's way up there. I mean, when you say Southern rock, everybody's going to think of Skynyrd first. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Skynyrd and the Allman Brothers Band, I think if you talk about Southern rock and the original, you know, the guys that really brought Southern rock to the general public, it's Skynyrd and it's Allman. Yeah.
Because I know the Allman Brothers, I know like they didn't necessarily like being referred to as a Southern rock band. And Greg Allman, his famous quote is, Southern rock is just rock. But I think, you know, with Skynyrd, they embrace that. You know, and even when people ask Charlie about that, he goes, hey, if that's what people want to, you know, categorize us as, if that makes them happy, then more power to them. But yeah, and they are a pantheon, you know, Skynyrd and that record, the first couple records is a pantheon.
Do you have a favorite track from that first record?
You know, I think I like the opener, I Ain't the One.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's, and it's, that could change from day to day. That could change from week to week.
Yeah, that's a good choice. You know, it's one of the lesser general known tune, lesser tunes known to the general public. I like Simple Man a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just great. And like playing guitar, that's a fun song to play guitar mm-hmm. to. And Tuesday's Gone, I love Tuesday's Gone because two reasons. One, it reminds me of the movie Dazed and Confused, because there's a scene in that movie where that's being mm-hmm. played at like a junior high dance. It just cracks mm-hmm. me up. And then on the Metallica Garage Days revisited thing they did in the 90s, Metallica does a live version with like John Popper and
Les Claypool, Gary Les Claypool. Rossington.
Yeah. And it's really good. It's kind of funny and stuff. And like mm-hmm. they pulled off really
Jerry
well.
Cantrell.
So. Yeah. That song, it's supposed to be a sad song, but it makes me happy because I think of both the movie Dazed and Confused. And then that track they did, mm-hmm. Metallica did.
Yeah. Yeah. And James Hetfield's a huge Skynyrd fan. And he makes plenty of references to them, you know, throughout the years.
Did he grow up down south somewhere? I don't. He's
No,
not like a California native,
he
is
grew up
he?
in Southern California.
Oh, did he? Okay,
Yeah.
all right. I couldn't
Yeah.
remember if he was like a Florida guy or something or
No,
not.
no, no. But yeah, so much going on, you know, with Skinner, of course, with Gary Rossington passing, you know, a lot of people are, you know, obviously playing homage to him, and you know, we've certainly have people lined up to do that. You know, I just saw Skinner with our friend Damon Johnson playing. You know, of course, Ricky Medlock, and you'll hear more about him in an upcoming episode with a guest. But we got to actually, you guys will hear our first little bit of a tribute to Gary Rossington with our guest coming up, Chris Kelly, who was in Tennessee Champagne. He's got a tribute show coming up tomorrow night. We've promoted it previously, but he's gonna have some guys in his band, some pretty cool guys. Of course, we call him the Dude, Mason Keck from Jive Mother Mary, and the drummer Fluff. Some other young guitar player, and the biggest player who played both with Seth Williams and Sam Rogers and played in Whiskey Foxtrot. So those that will be able to go are going to have a great time.
Yeah, no, it's a one of fantastic lineup of musicians, including there's a kid, like a legit kid, a 17-year-old who's apparently an extremely talented guitarist. Brian, he's ranked as one of the best top 10 guitarists on the age of 20. So it is a literal murderer's row of musicians playing a great influential album. And without album and that band, Brian, we wouldn't be doing this podcast because nobody would know what Southern rock was.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there. Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be a great show. Kerry Gates, our friend, is gonna be there. So if you guys can make it, make it. I had planned on going and just kind of didn't wasn't really in the cards right now. But you guys go there and check it out. Who knows? Maybe I'll try to get somebody on Saturday afternoon to talk from there or something. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, you guys want to kick back and relax and listen to our conversation with Chris Kelly. We're here at the guest segment of the podcast, and Jason, as always, is going to introduce our guest that we told you is here.
That's right. It's always my pleasure to introduce a guest. We have a returning guest, although this is somebody that, Brian, you've spoken to when I have not been on the podcast. So I'm excited to talk to him. We've got Chris Kelly, Tennessee Champagne. He's on to talk to us about a Skinner tribute that he's putting on. How's it going, Chris?
Doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing well. How's everything in Johnson City?
It's doing well. It's been a little wet this week, but it's starting to cool down a little bit, I believe.
We'll take it. I'm in Ohio, so I'm doing the same thing. We got a little bit of rain and it's knocking some of that heat and humidity out.
Yeah.
So you have a this will actually be out on Friday, so we should almost say if they're listening tomorrow night. But this Saturday, this weekend, as we're recording on Wednesday, you have a Gary Rossington Skinner tribute at Capone's in Johnson City. When, can you tell us all about that? Like how it, obviously after Gary Rossington passed, but how this all came about and who's all taking part in this?
So I was doing a little looking around the time Gary passed away, and you know, realized that Pronounce, their first, you know, big record, turned 50 on Sunday. So, you know, that'd be my favorite record of all time. You know, I really wanted to do something special to kind of pay tribute to that album, man. It means so much to me, and I know it means a lot to, you know, people all over the country. You know, a lot of musicians learned how to play their instrument to that record. Mm-hmm. So I sat down one night and, you know, was thinking of ways to pay tribute to that album. And, you know, in my time with Tennessee Champagne, I got the opportunity to meet a lot of great people and become friends with a lot of great musicians. And I reached out to a few of them. I reached out to my good friend Mason Keck from Jive with Mary, and their drummer Fluff as well. And, you know, because Jive with Mary is one of my favorite bands. I mean, I listen to those guys all the time, and I've been lucky enough to become good friends with them. And so they've agreed to come and play with a show with us. And, you know, I'm a bass player myself, and I did the vocals for Tennessee Champagne. And, you know, I really wanted to take a step back and do the songs justice. And so I decided to get another bass player. So I called up Brad Cardill, which is, you know, my favorite bass player, pretty much. I mean, he played bass for Whiskey Foxtrot and, you know, a couple other guys that, you know, are around the scene.
All those North Carolina guys you're hanging out with, Chris, man. Come on.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, you know, well, you know, I'm right up here in the corner, so we rubbed elbows a lot. But I think Brad's just a phenomenal player, so I reached out to him to cover those bass parts. And then a local guy I've been playing with here, a young cat, he's 17 years old. He got nominated as one of the top 10 under 20 guitar players in the country, Devin Gromovitz. He's going to be playing with us as well. And then I've got actually a local keyboard player as well, Stephen Baker. He's going to be doing all the keys parts that Billy did, which is a big task to cover. So it's really a great group of guys that I'm really excited. I mean, we've never played this show together. Everybody's kind of learned their parts, and we're getting together before the show on Saturday to run through. So it should be an interesting and fun time.
Brad's got to be a busy guy, well sought out, because I know he plays with both Seth and Sam, right?
Yeah. I think he stepped away from playing with Sam. I think Sam got somebody else. I think Sam's trying to scale up a little faster. And I know Brad definitely stays busy, because he's a high demand player.
So the Saturday will be the rehearsal. So you guys are just learning everything separately.
Yeah. You know, the set we're doing, we're playing the Pronounce record from start to finish, and then we're coming back and doing an encore set with a bunch of other Skinner tunes. So yeah, everybody's learned their parts, and we're going to get together Saturday around lunchtime and run through everything. So it'll be good.
Yeah. That record. And Brian was just on a podcast with one of our friends a couple months ago, Digital Killed, covering that first record. But for people who may not be familiar with it, it's like almost every radio hit you hear from Skinner's on it. Simple Man, Give Me Three Steps, Tuesday Gone, of course, Freebird's on there. So even if you're a casual Skinner fan, you're going to know pretty much every song you guys are playing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, that whole record, man, from start to finish is nothing but gold, man. There's something magic about that, all those songs.
So we've talked to not only you but others about, you know, doing some Gary Rossington tributes, and we haven't really started it yet, except where we could do it right now. So I know, like you mentioned, that you want to talk about Gary, so if you want to do that, that'd be
Chris
great.
Is the bass player, he doesn't know anything about guitar.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been around a lot of great guitar players, and I know that Gary really revolutionized a lot of the way that guitar was approached. I mean, some of his parts in those songs are just mind-blowing, really innovative and technical, and just he had a very special way about playing guitar. You know, all the people who were involved in guitar and Skinner were just overly talented. But Gary was a very special player. And, it's definitely a big loss to the musical community.
Hello, Pantheon Podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house. And my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles, plus awareness mode. Available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So, what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Yeah, and Chris, I mean, you've been playing in bands and stuff forever. Obviously, Tennessee Champagne, your last one. I guess where did Skinner play a role for you in your musical career?
Really, everything, man. I mean, you know, growing up, you know, being a young kid in East Tennessee, you know, that was the rock and roll that we could relate to. You know, I mean, Ronnie did such a great job at, you know, being a backwoods Shakespeare, man. I mean, this the songs that, you know, were about things you could relate to and feelings you feel. And, you know, it's just all relatable for, you know, a guy from East Tennessee. You know, it's, like I said, growing up, I mean, that was on the radio all the time. My dad grew up listening, didn't grow up, it came out when he was younger. But, you know, I grew up listening to it because my dad listened to it. And, you know, the Skinner, in my opinion, I mean, shaped all my favorite bands, Blackberry Smoke, Whiskey Myers, all these guys, you know, they had a big hand in forming their sounds. So, you know, for me, Leonard Skinner's like block one, you know, I mean, it's just kind of where it all started.
Yeah. Right.
So you just inadvertently gave me a cool band name, Backwoods Shakespeare. That's the first.
That was
thing
a great. That was cool, a great band term. Name. I made a mental note. I'm like, that. Damn, that you should like that. That should be on some merch for you or something like that. Backwoods Shakespeare.
We mentioned to everybody from the Southeast, as much as there's great musicians everywhere and music means a lot to people, it seems like down there it's almost genetic. It's almost like intertwined in your DNA. I mean, we always talk about it like comes from the soil or it comes from, you know, I always reference the Muscle Shoals documentary where I think it's Bono who's talking about it, like it comes from the water or whatever. Is that accurate all to say, or is that a little far-fetched? Or
I mean, yeah, it's definitely not far-fetched. It's there is something about this area, you know, the whole Southeast and Appalachia and, you know, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, that really, it's hard to explain. It's just kind of something that's in us, and, you know, that there's a, you know, soul influence and the rock influence and the country influence. You know, it's we're all kind of in the big melting pot of great music.
When did it start for you? Like, when did you... What's your earliest memories of music, or when did you start playing? Is it something you just, the first thing you remember? Or?
Man, growing up, my dad was always in cover bands, you know, bar bands and stuff. So I started going to clubs to listen to my dad when I was little. So I was always kind of around it. And, you know, growing up, I liked a lot of different things. I went through different phases from, you know, hard rock stuff to country to, you know, the stuff I like now. But, you know, even from, you know, being 8, 9, 10 years old, I remember listening to Leonard Skinner. I remember my uncle playing Three Steps on a cassette tape and me being like entranced by it. Like I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
So tell us about some of the other things that you're doing on a regular basis with your music. And I know you do like a, you have like a regular karaoke thing going on. What else? I mean, you, I know you posted about doing some websites. Like what all do you have going on? What's all on your plate?
Man, I've got a lot of different things going on. You know, I play locally with a band, Dead Set on Life. We, you know, doing a lot of cover stuff, and we've got some original stuff in the works that I'm working with Devin, the guy I was telling you about earlier, the younger guy. We're working on some original stuff. He's a really talented writer. Musically, he's really starting to knock stuff out of the park. And you know, I play in an Alabama tribute band with my dad. You know, we travel.
Oh, no kidding.
We travel all over and do that. It's a fun show. You know, and for me, it's just about, you know, being around music, and, you know, I love all kind of music and just being involved, you know, and then behind the scenes stuff, you know, I try to help bands with websites and press kits and things like that when I can. You know, it's I enjoy all aspects.
When you mentioned the Alabama tribute band, Jason and I were just talking about this a couple days ago about tribute bands. And that's something where in the past I was like more critical of, but I've really warmed up to it, especially when it's, you know, not like an impersonation, you know, like lately, like I've always, from time to time, I've always kind of dipped my toes in the water of the Grateful Dead. And when we had Alan Paul on, who wrote the, you know, the, I wish I had it
right latest here. Book, Brothers and Sisters, yeah, about the making of those brothers.
Band yeah. Album, from yeah. That album in 1973. And was talking about Watkins Glen, that famous concert. And so all of a sudden I like start looking at all these, you know, since I never did see the Grateful Dead or, you know, any of the incarnations afterwards, I'm looking at all these tribute bands. So I've become a lot more open to that idea. We got some friends in a band called the Amorcans, a Black Crowes tribute band. So it's like, you know, I've really opened up to that. So that's cool. I mean, I have another friend from North Dakota who she's doing a tribute to Fillmore East, the Allman Brothers, here in the fall, doing like 10 shows or something. So it's just something that I've been more, I don't know if this is even a question or as much of an observation or just something to say.
Yeah. It was always, you know, the tribute thing was always kind of taboo for me. Like I really loved being a part of the original music scene, and I still enjoy that side of things, but you know, there's a whole other side, you know, it's really about entertaining people and, you know, giving them an experience, you know, as close as you could to the original artist. You know, it's different, but it's definitely still musically fulfilling, you know?
Oh, I hear that. And especially if it's artists that you really, really enjoy the music from, it's probably a fun thing to go out and just do a little bit of change up.
Sure.
Speaking of tribute, so you're going back to the show that you're doing this weekend. You're doing the tribute to Skynyrd. I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask anyways, let you kind of build on it. So are you trying to replicate the album note for note, or just really give it your spin, your flair, your touch on it?
You know, we're trying. I want to do the music justice. You know, I'm not trying to be an exact.
There's a lot going on in all those songs.
There
a lot
is, of yeah. Man, there's so much. And, you know, really diving in this past few months, you know, I've kind of come to realize that even more.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot that goes into these songs. You know, we're trying to do our best to really put the essence of the songs out there without, you know, freaking out about every little note. You know, I mean, I want the songs to be very recognizable, and I want people to feel the feelings that I feel when I listen to this music. But then again, it's not like we're trying to exactly replicate it, things.
Well, yeah, and like going in, of course, the closer is going to be Freebird, at least for that set, right? And three guitar players, there is a lot going. You can do that song justice. You can put your stamp on it. People know what it's going to get without hitting every single note exactly as it's played on that record.
Right, yeah, you know, and, you know, great guitar players are great about, you know, playing, you know, not the exact solo, but there's signature licks and notes that are in the solos that need to be there.
Hit the right phrasing and all. Right. Yeah, man. And I think that's what's fun too, is right, as a guitar player, musician, that you get to, you could play what people know, but put your only little embellishments on. I mean, even the guys in Skinner, they don't play everything note for note exactly like the record. To your point, is they're playing the recognizable phrases, like, you know, all the little chunks you're going to know, but it's not always note for note every night.
Right. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you again, the gentleman in this tribute band, the 17, was that the bass player you got or the guitar player? I know you just said
guitarist, right? Guitarist. Top guitarist under the age of 20.
That is very cool. And it reminded me of, I don't know if you know about the band One for the Road. They're North Georgia. They live like right on where the Thunderbolts live. And the bass player, Jason Neal, he's 17. And it was just a joy to talk to him, just like so enthusiastic. So that young blood is so cool, because in my area of the world, you don't have young people like that are listening to great music. We find that quite a bit in the Southeast. I mean, it seems like everyone, like, you know, there's people my age, and I'm 53, that didn't always listen to good music, but it seems like everybody down there must have, because you can't find any young people up here that listen to all that great music. So that's another testament to the South, Southeast.
Yeah, you know, it's not, I wouldn't say it's super prevalent here that, you know, the young people listen to this, all this great old music, but, you know, there's definitely a good amount, you know, and, you know, I see all these clubs and stuff, I'm seeing a resurgence of people, you know, liking great music. I mean, I think that good music will eventually come back into focus, and the younger crowd's really starting to gravitate in that direction, I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to build on what Brian said, having such a young, talented artist play with you, somebody 17, I mean, what does that bring to a performance with you? Because you've been around, Mason's been around for a while, all that, but like, what does having playing with a 17-year-old bring to you?
You know, for me, it's really special, man. I mean, to see a new generation coming into, you know, what we're building, you know what I mean? Devin is a very, very talented guy. You know, he works really hard at what he does. You know, I'd say the kid probably plays guitar 10 hours a day. I mean, he, you know, that's what he loves and what he's, you know, into doing. So he really brings, you know, a freshness and an excitement and, you know, something that, you know, me and the guys who have been, you know, doing this for 20 years, you know, seem to forget sometimes, you know. So that
he's little not bit of jaded butterflies like you old veterans are.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, but you know, he brings some excitement, and you know, it's a really special thing, though. I really enjoy playing with some of these younger cats.
So, you know, when you mentioned sometimes like working on original music, besides the bass, do you play guitar as well or piano? Like, how do you write? How does that work for you?
Mainly, I'm mainly just a bass player. I play a little bit of guitar. And I can, you know, work on forming chord structure and things like that. But usually I try to write the melody the best I can, just in my head, and kind of convey it to whoever, you know, I'm working with on the guitar to kind of build musically from there.
How often is the, like, music comes to you? Like, are you the type that sits down and go, I'm going to write a song? Does it just come at random? Where does the creativity come in for you?
You know, it's different as time goes. You know, when I was doing Champagne, you know, full time, you know, I was writing a lot, you know, because that's all I was thinking about, you know, that band and that sound. So, you know, things were constantly coming to me, you know, in the everyday conversation, a phrase or a word, you know, I would, you know, write it down and come back and, you know, write the song later. Mm-hmm. You know, not being as involved in writing and stuff at the moment, you know, it's something I kind of have to, you know, mentally prepare for and you know, kind of get in the mood to do so. So it's all about, for me, like, you know, what headspace you're in and, you know, the flow of your life at the moment.
Well, kind of keeping on that conversation, something that you said earlier, you're playing with this band, you guys are doing a lot of covers, you're starting to write original music. I guess, what's your goal with the group that you're playing with right now?
You know, I'm really just open to see what happens. You know, like I said with Devin, I mean, he's writing some really great riffs. And, you know, eventually, you know, really have to get in the studio and lay some stuff down with him and, you know, put it out there. You know, there's a lot of great people out there that, you know, I've met over the past 10 years that are, you know, in love with the style of music we all love. And I really think, you know, if we had a chance to get it in those hands, that people would really enjoy what we're making, you know, starting to make now.
No, but no specific timeline, like, hey, we're going to go in the studio in October, record out in January, anything like that?
Nothing in stone right now, no. Just okay. in the beginning stages of that.
So when we dream, we dream big. Could there ever be like some sort of, I don't know how much time, you know, Jive Mother Mary is pretty busy, but it'd be nice to have a little super group, you and Mason, and find some other guys from some of the bands we talked to.
I'd always be down for that, man. again, I'm so lucky to have become friends with all these guys. And, you know, I really feel like the group that's playing on Saturday night's a super group, man. I mean, for me, Mason and Fluff and Brad and all these guys, man, are, you know, guys that I view not necessarily, I don't want to sound weird, but like, to me, these guys are rock stars. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I really enjoy their music, and I purposely go out to listen to their music. So it's really special for me to get to jam with guys, you know, the caliber we're jamming with on Saturday.
So we talk to a lot of guitar players, and Jason gets to do a lot of gear talk. But now I'm a bass player as well. I know you're Fender Jazz guy, but let's get into this. Let's get into, you know, but if you've played anything besides the jazz and your amps and everything, pedals.
Yeah, so I recently picked up a new Reverend bass. Big fan. It's a fantastic sounding bass. It's a what they call a decision bass. It's a P bass, and it's got a jazz pickup as well. It's very light and easy to play, and it's beautiful. So I'm really digging that recently. I've been playing that a lot. Amp-wise, you know, in the whole champagne time, I was playing a Fender Super Bassman tube amp with a 410, and I really enjoyed the sound of that. But coming off the road, not being on the road as much, I kind of shelved all the big heavy gear and mm-hmm. kind of went the simple route. I've went to all my amp and sounds and everything like that is now in a pedal. Trace Elliott. Trace Elliott Transit bass, like a floor unit, and it's really, really great sounding, and I don't have to haul around a big amp anymore.
Are you running nice. Direct then to it, or are you still playing through a cab somewhere?
Yeah, I'm running directly into the PA and then running either inner monitors or a
floor
monitor.
Nice, dude. That is, you're going to save your back from lifting in on those heavy-ass bass speakers, man.
I'd tell you, man, I've hauled a 100-pound amp upstairs one too many times.
So I saw that you posted a picture of the Reverend. That's a 4-string, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a 4.
He's usually 5-string guy, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind of wanted to branch out and, you know, get a 4 because, you know, for some kinds of music, man, it's just when I'm not using the 5, it's, I don't know, it adds a little bit of challenge and makes me think a little bit more. And I like the feel of it. It's nice for a change sometimes.
Why was your preference originally a 5-string bass?
You know, when I was in high school, I had an opportunity to pick up a Fender Jazz American 5-string. It wasn't really by choice. It was by, I got a great deal on it. And it's kind of what I got comfortable on, you know, and I grew, you know, for probably the first 3 or 4 years I had that bass, I may have played the low B string like 5 times, but, you know, growing in the craft and growing as a musician, you know, you learn how to properly use those things. So it really grew to be something I used a lot in a lot of the songs I wrote and, you know, how I play live.
So, of course, a lot of guitar players are using different tunings and stuff. Did you do that for bass? Like, if when you're using the five string, did you have to, when you're playing that low B, what happened when you go to the four string and you're looking for that sound or whatever? Do you have to ever change up tunings or?
Yeah, you're not going to get that same sound. You can drop the E to a D and get similar stuff, but you'll never get the full low end of the B as you would on a five string.
Are you going to be using the Reverend for the show on Saturday night?
I haven't
Oh,
decided
yeah,
yet.
that's
I
right. You're just
might.
singing. I'm sorry.
Oh
I keep
yeah,
forgetting
that's
that.
right.
I keep forgetting
Yeah,
that. Okay, so with
I
other
might.
things, are you going to be using the Reverend
Yeah, I
primarily?
mean, no, I'm still using mainly the jazz. I've got a it's my 2015 American Deluxe that, it's my number one and probably always will be.
Very cool. So like what we always ask the guests, like, is there anybody new that we may not have heard of? Like, who in your peers or new bands, or if it's someone that's been around for a while, is there anybody that's really catching your eye and going, holy crap, you gotta check these guys out?
Man, you guys know all my favorite bands.
Right. We're probably introducing you to new bands.
You probably are, yeah. Man, there's a ton of great players, man. I really like, I don't know if you know, Jordan Allen. I don't know if you know him. He's a cat from Kentucky that's got a really, really great band. He's actually going to come sing a couple songs with us on Saturday. He's got an awesome band. There's I find these crazy bands that like broke up 15 years ago that I love their music and they're no longer together. There's a band called Devil's Hollow, and they put a record out in 2010. It's probably one of the best Southern rock blues albums I've ever heard, and they hadn't been together in a long time. But yeah, but there's really nobody new that I know about that you don't know about, I don't believe.
Yeah, Brian, we have who did we talk to that was from Knoxville not too long ago? They met in college in
Dirty
Tennessee.
Gospel.
Dirty Gospel. Yes, those guys are great.
I haven't heard of them. I need to check them out.
The Dirty
What?
Gospel,
Oh, check
yes.
them out. Yeah, the Dirty Gospel. What a great name for a band, too.
That is cool, yeah.
I came across them from they played the same weekend as them Dirty Roses at the Shed. So it was like billed as the Double Dirty Weekend or something like that.
That's cool.
Hey, speaking of venues, so give us a little bit more rundown of what's going on Saturday night, where you're playing. Tell us a little bit about it, ticket prices, all that stuff.
Yeah, so it's at Capone's downtown Johnson City. It's a super cool venue, got great sound, great lighting. Just a really cool vibe, man. Blackstone Cherry's playing there in a few weeks.
Oh,
So
right on. Legit.
it's a
That's
nice, cool, big
legit.
venue. Yeah, it's a
Yeah.
cool venue, man. Yeah, that's where I met actually Mason for the first time. We had them come to a show with us in Johnson City. But yeah, it's I think it's $10 under 21, $7 over 21. So it's
Ooh,
a
you save
nice.
money for beer. Yeah, there you
Yeah,
go.
there you go. So yeah, it's a really cool club, man. It's great sound and cool vibes.
I'm gonna assume you're friends with, or at least know really well, the people that run that, or at least book bands and stuff. So what was that process like when you came up with the idea for the Skynyrd and kind of approaching Capone's about doing it?
Yeah, so I got the idea for the show and I was really excited and I was running through different options. I thought about renting a theater or renting venues, but in all reality for me, Capone's is like my home venue. It's where I, Champagne played a bunch and all my friends go and it's just kind of like a home venue for me. So, and I'm good friends with Jason, the guy who books there. So, I shot him a message and told him my idea, and he got super excited about it. So, I think it's going to work out great. I think, they've got a good place to enjoy music, and it kind of takes a lot of the worry of production and things like that from me. So it's already taken care of.
You mentioned just a little earlier the gentleman, Jordan Allen, being from Kentucky. And of course, we're extremely obsessed with Kentucky, with, you know, of course, Boone and Otis and Mojo Thunder and the Josephines and, of course, the Headhunters and everybody else from there. Was he also like in a band that doesn't play anymore? Like, can you, because I know you mentioned Devil's Hollow, but what band was Jordan in or still in?
Jordan is Jordan Allen and the Bellwethers is his band.
Oh, okay.
They're really fantastic, man. Yeah, definitely check those guys out. I've got to be friends with Jordan over the past couple of years here, and I'm a really big fan of his songwriting. He's a really great songwriter.
Very cool. But are you influenced at all by the Headhunters?
I am. Yeah, absolutely. They did a cool thing too, man. They got a really nice raw and gritty kind of thing that I really liked. The Headhunters definitely played a big part in, you know, the music that I've grown up listening to.
You also,
hey, Brian, I just sorry to interrupt you. I just found out today, but you talked about the Headhunters. So sorry, Chris, we're going to bump you out here for a second. But I just saw that Headhunters are playing in Versailles, Ohio with Confederate Railroad mid-September, which I didn't know about. So I talked to Boone. I may go Saturday night on Saturday, September 16th in Versailles to go see those guys, say hi to them in person.
Right on.
There you go. Sorry, Chris. What else do we need to know about the show this weekend, man? Can we get tickets online? Do we have to show up at the venue?
Yeah, you can get tickets at the door, or you can get tickets online through Eventbrite. I've got a link on Tennessee Champagne's Facebook as well as Capone's Facebook.
What's our capacity on that show?
I believe Capone's will hold probably 300 or 400 people.
That's a nice size. That's a good size club.
We can pack them in there. So from everything I see, it's going to be a close to sellout crowd. It should be really great.
So depending upon, and I know it's going to be killer, but do you think there'll be any plans doing another one, or is this just like going to be a one-off or?
Nothing in the plans yet. But God, I'd love to play with this group anytime they want to get together.
You know how the band always, you know, people always do the last waltz around Thanksgiving. And by the way, Robbie Roberts died today. That, if you guys saw the news, is terrible, because I'm a huge The Band fan. So Robbie Robertson, sorry. I could see you guys doing something like that, playing a couple shows a year, maybe in the fall in celebration of that. I mean, you sounds like you do have a hell of a lineup, at least with the guys that we know.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'd definitely be open to it. I know these guys all got a hectic schedule, and I was pretty amazed I was able to snag them for a night. But if I could get them a couple nights a year, I'd be more than happy.
Let's if we can just go into your Alabama tribute band, the name of it, how that came about, like what how often do you do that? What's coming up next for that?
Yeah, so it's Songs of the South, like the song from Alabama. Last week we played, or 2 weeks ago we were in Nashville. Last week we were in Louisville, North Carolina, and Georgia the week before that. So we're kind of all around. I think we're in South Carolina in a couple weeks. It's kind of two or three times a month kind of thing. Usually on the road. We're heading to Florida here in a couple months. It's more casual, you know, just here and there show. And but it's a really good time. You know, I get to play with my dad, which is really cool. You know, he's probably my biggest musical influence. So it's really cool to share the stage with my dad.
Is your dad a vocalist, or is he playing instrument, or both?
He's the kind of the front man, lead singer.
All right. So Jason, is that time of the show?
Well,
can we do the extended
lightning round?
Yeah.
Chris, sure. Listen, Wayne, I'll give you first chance. Is there anything else about this show that we need to know, or the listeners need to know, because this comes out on Friday. The show is on Saturday. Anything we didn't cover?
I think we hit all the high spots, man. I would really, really love to see a lot of people there, see some familiar faces, some new faces. You know, I really think it's going to be a special thing, and I really think people will regret it if they don't make it out. Show starts at 10 p.m. You know, Johnson City's got a lot of great things to offer for people coming in and out of town. A lot of great food, great sights, great nature. You know, I think it'll be great for everybody to come in and really enjoy something special.
If I lived closer and didn't have plans Saturday night, I would 100% be there.
I believe you.
All right, let's ask stupid questions. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Two-part question. First concert you ever went to and the last concert you went to?
Wow. First concert would probably be, I think it was Travis Tritt. I saw Travis Tritt at Fun Fest there in Kingsport when I was younger. That's the first one I remember anyway. And the most recent concert, I haven't been to a show in a long time, unfortunately. Last show I saw, I think it was Blackberry Smoke, and it was back in January.
They are my favorite band out there right now. They just never fail to put on a spectacular live show.
Couldn't agree more.
What's your favorite Blackberry Smoke song?
Favorite Blackberry Smoke song would probably be either Up in Smoke or Shake Your Magnolia is probably the top two.
Nice. If you could get on stage and play a song with those guys, what are you choosing? One of those two or something else?
Probably Up in Smoke. Yeah, that's just it's a badass team.
Have you guys covered them before, either what you're doing now or with Tennessee Champagne?
Yeah, we Champagne, we covered Ain't Much Left of Me, I think.
Dude, the closer. Yeah, Ain't Much Left of Me, that's a great song. It's a closer. We had Charlie on last fall, right before they started kicking off the tour to do the 10th anniversary of the Whippoorwill. And we were talking to him, and I'm like, it would be super cool because it's like weird where, like, they always close the show with Ain't Much Left of Me. But it's not the last song on that album. Like, that's in the middle. It's like, so I'm like, you should like stop in the middle of that. You know how they always stop and they cover a song for a little bit and they come back into it. Stop, play the rest of that Whippoorwill record and then end with the rest of Ain't Much Left. He didn't do it. You should have did it. You should have done it. I'm disappointed. I was waiting.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, the Whippoorwill, man, that tour that they did, that was fantastic. That Whippoorwill is probably my favorite Smoke record from front to back, I think.
Oh, for sure. And Brian and I choose that as one of the top Southern rock records of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually, in Champaign, we recorded our record at the same studio they recorded that album. Which
Oh, North Carolina, right?
Yeah, in Asheville.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, we got a great story from Charlie about that whole recording process.
That God, that room is so magical. It was a really magical place.
Damn. Did you ever play with those guys at the Shed or anything
when
you
were? We haven't. No, we never got a chance to.
Okay, for some reason I thought maybe you opened a show for them or something. Okay, would have been awesome. Maybe you get a chance with this new group.
Maybe so. Yeah, that'd be great. You know, Smoke's my favorite band, so I'd love to have the opportunity one day.
You could certainly choose a lot worse bands to have your favorite band. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so spoiler alert for the people who are listening right now, but we just recorded an episode with Jason Charles Miller, a great artist, hard Southern rock artist and stuff himself. He does a lot of stuff in the video game, in the gaming world. Chris, are you a video game guy or did you play video games?
I am, yeah. I'm a big gamer. It's one of my favorite pastimes when I'm not playing music or doing other things.
So what are you into right now?
Man, I play a lot of Call of Duty. I like sports games and,
you PlayStation or a Xbox guy.
I'm an Xbox guy. Yeah.
Why?
That's what that's a good question. I picked up a Xbox 360 when they came out. I was a PlayStation guy before that. Yeah. So I don't think it's a super like definitive choice, but this is what I have.
Is it like with all your friends, we're kind of using that so to play online with them in the same system? Yeah. That's usually what I find, like the difference between the two. Like my son, when he was doing all that, it's like whatever system his friends had, you'd have to get so he could play online with everybody.
Yeah, that's it.
What is the greatest video game system of all time?
Oof. For me, I guess nostalgia just takes over for the PS1. Like, that was just so, like, I don't know. It opened new doors.
Yeah, we played the shit out of that in college, like Twisted Metal 2 and wrestling games, like WCW wrestling, just all sorts of stuff on that.
Yeah, it definitely opened up a lot of new games.
Yep, it certainly did. And it was slow boot up times. I remember you had to buy like the little memory cards to put in it.
Oh, those were fun.
Yeah, the original what was it? Oh God, there's a whole big series like the first horror action game. Zombies. What the heck, what am I thinking of here? Umbrella Corporation. Help me out, Chris. Come on. Oh, Resident Evil. Resident Evil.
Resident
That's
Evil,
it.
yeah.
I remember that. Okay, we'll move off video games. This is a music program, but I, you know, it is a stupid question. It is a stupid question. So you gotta, you know, we gotta answer stupid stuff. Johnson City. I know it's a suburb. It's a, you know, of Knoxville. Brian and I show up Johnson City. We want something to eat. Where are you sending us?
Man, there's a lot of great options. We just got last year, we just got like a real barbecue place. Like it's called Project Barbecue. Dude did all his training in Texas and he is making some fantastic barbecue now. So they opened last year and then they're opening a second location even closer to the house now, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah,
Yeah.
Project Barbecue is probably the go-to.
Are you a beer drinker?
I am, yeah.
You've got a great recommendation for a local brew, microbrew in the Johnson City area.
My favorite currently is a little brewery called Appalachian Sun in Elizabeth, and a good friend of mine opened it a couple years ago, and he just opened his tap room up within the past year, but he has some fantastic beers.
Did you say Elizabethtown, Kentucky?
Oh, no, it's Elizabethton,
Oh.
Tennessee.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Have you, since we're talking about Skynyrd, have you seen that movie Elizabethtown, Elizabeth, whatever it's called, about it was one of the Cameron Crowe movies that didn't quite do as well, like Almost Famous and stuff. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it, no.
It is not a good movie, but there is a the very like the end of the movie, the kind of the not the apex of the film, the whatever. I'm blanking on the right terminology for this, but it involves a Lynyrd Skynyrd tribute band and Freebird, and you could probably find a clip on YouTube. So I would recommend you go out and watch it, but maybe watch it after you've done this tribute show,
I'll definitely check that out.
because I don't want, you know, I don't want to jinx anything. But it is really funny, and it is the climax of the film happens with Skynyrd tribute band playing Freebird.
Gotcha.
All right. What is your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Ooh, that's tough. I really like strawberry. I'm a strawberry guy. That's some good
It's
stuff.
classic. You can't go wrong with strawberry, you know?
Yeah, it's especially a good strawberry. It's hard to beat.
Do you go out on YouTube and watch musical performances? Like, do you track down like live stuff?
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite things to do. I spend a lot of time doing that.
What kind of what's catching your attention right now? Like, what are you watching?
I love watching old Skynyrd footage or Allman Brothers footage. All those. Charlie Daniels is another one of my favorites I love to go watch live. Charlie was so freaking cool.
It amazes to me that you can go to YouTube and you could look up any band or thing, and it doesn't matter when they were around. Like, you can find live shit from them. It's incredible.
Yeah, man, I was watching the I think it was the Gray Whistle something
The
another
old Gray
from
Whistle Test.
that was on BBC the Skynyrd one the other day. It was fantastic. It was so cool to be able to see like that whole recording.
I would have loved, Brian, I would have loved to have had YouTube when we were like kids, like, you know, high school, junior high, just to have the access to all this stuff. And for me, I play guitar not very well, but even though, like, you could learn to play guitar without instructors pretty much now. You go, like, there's YouTube out the, like, everything.
I would definitely be a much better musician if YouTube was around when I was learning how to play.
Right? I mean, things from learning how to play songs to scales, warm-ups, and even there's even stuff on theory. Like, it's I've learned more from YouTube than I have from people. Is it cheating to go on YouTube to learn how to play a song?
Absolutely not. I mean, if. I, in my opinion, there's no better way to learn than, watching the guy who played it play it.
Unless you're one of those savants who can just hear something and immediately play it away, it saves a whole hell of a lot of time to go, hey, how do you know, tutorial this song, and there's 50 versions right there.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice to be a savant?
I'm certainly not in any area. Say on streaming stuff, is there anything you're streaming right now that's good that you'd recommend for us to check out, like watching?
I'm really into old music documentaries, so you've probably seen a bunch of those. You know, the Skinner movie that's on Netflix is fantastic. I really, that's where most of my time goes, is watching old documentaries on musicians and bands.
I'm gonna watch the one on Wham. I was never a big Wham fan, but I'm just interested. It's supposed to be really good. I saw the one on the Bee Gees a few years ago on HBO, and like I don't care who the musical artist, I'm always enthralled with documentaries.
I'm the same way, man. I mean, even if I'm not huge into the band, it's cool to see how they came up and how they got started.
I just watched one a couple, maybe a month or two ago on Amazon about John Waite, which is really interesting.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. I'll have to check it out.
And like I did, Brian, I don't know, you probably remember, but the Babies, like I didn't really get into or know a lot about the Babies, and I kind of watched this documentary and went to check out their catalog. They had a great catalog of music before kind of Waite, they broke up and Waite went solo and then did the Bad English thing.
Isn't It Time? That's that song, right? I remember that, like, one of the earliest songs I can remember,
They have a
like
couple, and
1977.
it's a great, like it was a really good documentary. That guy is a super talented musician. I think we lost Chris on the John Waite stuff. He's like, what the fuck?
No,
You almost
not
lost me
necessarily up
too.
my alley, but I'm familiar.
And I'm gonna go off my thing. I thought it was really interesting that the original key player from the Babies left them to go play with Journey. And then later on, John Waite played in Bad English with Neil Sean and Jonathan Cain as a keys player in Bad English, and they all end up hating each other.
That tends
They
to
bounced around a couple different bands together. I thought it was funny. They glossed over the Bad English section of John Waite's career pretty quick, which is weird because they had a number one hit with When I See You Smile, and they sold millions of records. So there was apparently some bad blood floating out there.
happen. Right.
What was the first record, album, or tape you remember buying, and what's the most recent one that you bought?
Wow. First record I bought, that's a tough one. The first record I bought with my own money was actually Eric Church's live album, I believe. It was Caught in the Act. It was pretty awesome. Great, great live record if you hadn't heard it. And most recently, I think I picked up Smoke's newest records, probably the newest thing I've bought.
What's the last three things that you've streamed?
I stream actually
Probably a lot of Skinner getting ready, I'm gonna guess.
Skinner, yeah, too much really. I'm trying not to kill myself with it. I've been listening to Otis a lot lately, actually.
Eyes of the Sun,
Them
yeah.
getting back together, yeah, that's a really great record. Boone and those
Fabulous
guys are
record.
just, I'm really excited to see them
Boone's
again.
singing voice, like we've talked to Boone many times and know him well. And he's one of those guys where, like, holy shit, that's the voice that's coming out of this dude.
He is very unexpecting. He's a
Yeah.
Boone is such a nice guy, though. I've
He's
had
the
a chance
best.
to talk to him a few times. He's a really cool guy. But yeah, I listen to Otis a lot. I've been listening to that Devil's Hollow record a lot. I tend to listen to Steely Dan a lot here recently. I've been doing a lot of Steely Dan.
Brian, we get a lot of people listening to Steely Dan music. That's like a musician's band right there.
Well,
It
I think
really is.
I remember you mentioning them the first time you were on, and I think we drew some like kind of comparison with Jive Mother Mary to Steely Dan in some
Yeah, they
way.
definitely have some similarities.
Yeah, I've got one of my friends here in town, John Homan, who he played drums in LA for a while for like hair metal bands and stuff. His favorite band of all time is Steely Dan. Completely not what I would have expected from him.
For me, man, it's like, I don't know, there's a certain vibe that comes to Steely Dan stuff. It's very mellow and like, I don't know. It gives you a good feeling.
Great musicianship, and I know too, they always like the touring musicians, they'd always get top-notch guys to come play with them.
Absolutely, yeah.
What would be an artist or song that we'd be surprised to hear that you like?
It's a good question too. I really like. I would like to think that you wouldn't be surprised that I like anything. I like I really like 90s hip hop, like Biggie and Tupac and Snoop and all that stuff, man. I mean, I guess you might not expect that I like that stuff, but yeah, I like a lot of that stuff.
That's pretty good. I wouldn't expect that, but you know, I went to college during those times, and I get it.
Yeah, it's good music. It's definitely different than what I'm playing every day, but it's good
stuff. Well, it had some pop sensibilities. Like 80s hip hop had a lot of pop sensibilities about it too, and it was very upbeat. And you know, whether it was Run DMC, LL Cool J, you know, you name it. And then the 90s still kept a little bit, and it started getting a little harder edge. And then it kind of lost me in 2000, where everything was sampled. There's 100 people performing on one track. You know, it just didn't have the same appeal.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you don't like Snoop or Dre stuff from the early 90s, then like, what's wrong? You're not a real music fan.
I agree completely.
good music's good music.
That's exactly right, man. I try to listen to a little bit of everything, man. I can find things I like in all music.
And that's how it should be. Right, Brian?
Indeed, you are correct.
All right, Chris. We're going to round it out here, the show here, as we hit our hour mark. But two things. Where do we go to find out more about what you're doing and all your music and stuff that you're in, whether it's Alabama stuff, your current band? And then send us, again, let us, everybody who's listening, where do we go to find out more about the Skinner Tribute Show at Capone's?
Yeah, Facebook, I try to share everything through the Tennessee Champagne page. Everything I'm doing, I try to share it through there. So you can find out, you know, a little bit of everything I'm doing there. And then the Capone Show, I've got links posted on the Tennessee Champagne site, and I'll send you guys some links as well. But through their Facebook page, there's an event page that you can get tickets and read a little bit more about it.
Yeah, and if you got the Eventbrite app or the website, you can go right there and purchase tickets. I saw it on my Eventbrite app, so pretty easy. There's no reason if you're in the area you can't buy a ticket and go to the show.
That's exactly right. It's
unless you hate fun. Unless you hate fun, then don't buy a ticket, jerks. Anybody gonna be taking any video? We're gonna see any live streaming or anything like post show, like post performance?
I'm sure there'll be some, nothing planned, but, I know Carrie Gates will be there.
Our friend Carrie, Brian, we love her.
She usually live streams and does some videos, so I'm sure it'll be floating around.
And she helps us out too. I think you made her an admin on her Facebook page where she can, stream right to it. Didn't you, Brian, or something?
Possibly. I don't know.
Or she just links to, I don't know. She's done stuff. Well, when you see Carrie and when you see Mason, please tell them hello from me and Brian. Like, we're big fans of both of them.
I'll definitely do it.
All right, everybody. Go to this show. Chris is a great musician. He's got other great musicians. It's going to kick ass. Everybody loves that first Skinner album. Right, Brian?
Indeed, yes. So thank you so much to our friend Chris Kelly. The show is tomorrow night at Capone's, 10 p.m. The Gary Rossington Skinner tribute, playing Pronounced in its entirety, with Mason Cook, Mason and Fluff from Jive Mother Mary, a couple other guys that, you know, we told you about. So you guys go and check that out. And Chris, thank you so much for coming on. We want you on again and again. Anything that you're doing, we'll promote and push, and love hearing about everything you got going on.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It was good talking to y'all.
Thank you so much to Chris Kelly for joining us and giving us a good preview of the show tomorrow night at Capone's, where they'll be playing Pronounced in its entirety. Chris was kind enough to give us some words about Gary Rossington, our first little tribute, and hopefully we'll have a lot more. It's going to be a great, great, great show. I wish I could be there, you know. I mean, you know, see Mason, you know, do his, you know, some Skinner guitar playing. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to find some video of the performances out there so we can hear some of that stuff for ourselves. I'd love to be there. I'm in between getting kids off to college and stuff like that, so it's not in the cards for me. It's only like a 5-hour drive, but still, I can't. Stupid life and parenting and adulting gets in the way of having fun, you know? Life. Being an adult's terrible, Brian, isn't it? Like, stupid. We got to do stupid things.
Life.
Life. Speaking of life, with life comes death. This is terrible, but today we're recorded on August 9th, and Robbie Robertson of the band died. I love the band. Brian, a big fan of the band, so that's kind of a bummer. And only one surviving member of the original band lineup is still around, Garth Hudson. Hard to believe.
Yeah, man. And that, you know, I hadn't heard that until you brought that up as we were talking to Chris.
Yeah, it was kind of breaking news before we hopped on to start recording with Chris. I saw it and I was like, what, this sucks.
The timing of that, you know, not that long ago was the 50th anniversary of Watkins Glen, which of course the band played with, you know, with the Dead and the Almonds. Wow. Yeah. That's a huge loss. You know,
it sucks too, that we're at the age where the musicians or actors or sports people we grow up with are dying off regularly. And it just makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Bummer. But this show would be great. And people should go around the Knoxville or Johnson City area, because I don't think you could pick a much better lineup of musicians to play the show.
Yeah, you are absolutely, absolutely 100% on the money with that. You guys go check out the show. Nothing else need to be said, except for always remember, Southern Rock is reverent, blues is blood. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.